The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the South on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on the freshfm.com.nz. Hi everybody, welcome back to That's Mint. I'm Imogen.
I'm David.
I'm Esther.
I'm Bisal.
And today we're doing a little bit of a different structure to most meetings because majority of the people here are mentees. But I'm going to be doing an interview with you guys. So first, can you tell me where you guys are from?
I'm from Nepal.
I'm from Nepal.
I'm from Nepal.
Okay. So you guys are all part of the Bhutanese Nepali community, and I think you guys are one of the biggest former refugee communities in Nelson, I would say. So I wanted to talk to you guys today about, I guess, what it's like being the only person that speaks English within your household, especially from a young age, because I think that's something that doesn't just impact your community, but lots of different migrant and former refugee communities throughout the world. So I just want to start by my first question, which is, what are some responsibilities that were put on you in an earlier age than most kids? And yeah, can you guys give any examples?
Yeah, I can give you some. I guess quite earlier in my years coming here, I came in when I was like 4. That's what my brother said and stuff, I guess. So it's mostly that I think they didn't, I think they understood that I couldn't speak English well because they expected that from like when I was in primary and stuff. You don't expect kids to read bank detail documents when you're in primary. So I think until probably around my year 8, when I was a bit like around 12 or when I was in college, then they were like, oh, you should know how to do this and stuff like that.
Do you think that originally a lot of those pressures were put onto your brothers, especially Elise, that's David's older brother? When you guys first moved, I imagine that that was a lot of paperwork and a lot of, like, I guess, needing translation in those first couple of years. Do you think that had a lot of pressure on your brother?
Yeah, definitely. My brother Elise, he was, for the most of the time of when I was little, he was doing most of the translating for my mom and dad and stuff, pretty sure. And then once he was older, and then, yeah, it got passed down to me. And yeah.
So like that. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think for me, it's mostly translating. So whenever there was English at anything, they would bring me. So, yeah.
What are those things, like doctor's appointments?
Like doctor's appointments and mails, reading mails, emails. Yeah. Mm.
And you?
So the thing was, it was the same situation as David. But now everyone is busy, like my dad's. He also speaks English, but he's busy with his own work. And my sister as well, they have their own job to do and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's more put on you?
Yep.
How did your dad learn English?
He was educated when he was young. So in Bhutan he studied till year 10, I think. I can't remember. Right. But yeah.
So you guys all moved here as former refugees?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he could already speak fluent English.
Yeah.
I guess that would have helped you guys a lot.
Yeah, it helped us a lot.
Mm.
And when we were in refugee camp, he was already doing like teaching in different part of the city.
Mm.
So it was kind of
a bit different structure for your family in comparison to others.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess you guys have given some overall examples of the kind of pressures that are put on you guys, but can you think of any specific stories that you could tell us about times in your childhood where you had to take on adult roles?
Yeah, I can. Adult roles, not for me, not really adult roles, but I guess, like, what do you mean by adult roles?
I mean, like, doing jobs or, like, helping your parents with things that kids usually don't help their parents with if they're not in these specific circumstances like you guys.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of, because going to the doctors or, like, dentists and stuff and translating for them is kind of an adult.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I guess it's not something normally kids would do, especially if it was like your own parents' doctor's appointment or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then. Yeah. That would be one.
And you still do that.
You still do that with your parents.
Yeah. And more specifically, I would think not adult, but more like convenient, everyday convenient thing. Because he can't do any, like, phones, right? They're very super convenient. But he can't do them because he doesn't understand the language. So there's like a barrier. So anything with his phone and stuff, like he doesn't know how to do the silent button to silent the notification and stuff. So he asks me and I just show him. And then, yeah. And most like Wi-Fi passwords and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that one is more common. A lot of kids.
Yeah.
I think like the internet, maybe that's a good example to show people. Like, you know how parents, I think that's for most parents, don't really know how to use the internet, or it's something that a lot of them struggle with. I guess that's a good example of you guys having to do that, but four times over with lots of other things as well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
A lot of setting up passwords and then for them.
Yeah. What about you, Esther?
I had to help out get my mom a car once. It was traumatic. It was traumatic. I had to do all of the bank details, and you know how they ask for like the bank, you know, receipt and stuff.
Yeah.
I had to do that. I did not understand what was going on, but in the end, we got the car.
Yay! How old were you when this happened?
I was.
Wasn't this recently?
No.
Oh, that car.
It was the old car, the old one car that we have. I was like 11, 10, maybe.
Yeah. See, that's like not a normal age to be doing those things. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
And I think there's also that, I don't know, like assumption with your parents that it's something that you guys learn in school.
Yes.
Mm. Oh my God. See, I told you it'd be so relatable.
So when you're saying that, it's like they assume that school teaches you how to do bank details and how to fill out receipts and how to pay for different taxes and stuff like that. Do you think that's something your parents?
Yes, 100%. 100%. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. What about you, Bichelle? Any?
I'm the youngest in my family, so I didn't do that much stuff like that.
Do you think that you have less pressures as the youngest because of that? How many siblings do you have?
Two.
Okay. Do you think that both girls?
Yep.
Your sisters? Yeah. Do you think that your sisters have a lot of those pressures that we're talking about? Or is it not really because your dad still speaks English as well?
Mostly my dad does everything.
Yeah. So. That's kind of like me as well. My parents both speak English and I have a big sister. So for me, I'm pretty chill in that sense. Okay. So next, I want to ask you guys, how do you think that your childhoods have kind of changed, or like how your childhoods differ from other kids such as mine or other kids whose parents both speak English? I guess you gave a good example, Esther, talking about having to buy your mom's car. Like, I guess that changes maybe your maturity levels, would you say?
Yeah.
Mm.
Guess it does. Yeah, maturity level, and probably gives you more tolerance too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot more tolerance.
Patience.
Patience.
For mistakes and not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And more allows you to comprehend a little bit more, better.
Yeah, better life skills, I guess, in the long run. Maybe it's not such a bad thing. Do you feel like you guys struggle a bit with making friends with other kids around, like when you were a kid, because you had to grow up so much faster to help your parents with all the stuff? Like, did you find a lot of kids your own age kind of maybe not naive, but yeah, kind of naive, like they can't do stuff for themselves because you guys had to learn how to do? You kind of get what I'm coming from?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. When I moved here first, I did have like some difficulties making friends. But as I grew older, it's easy for me now.
Yeah. Do you still kind of stay within like being friends with kids who understand you, or like other migrants, refugees, or do you branch out? Like, are you friends with Kiwi kids as well?
Oh, yep. I have like a lot of Kiwi friends that I made through football, joining football club. Yeah. And yeah, the football managers and coaches, they helped me a lot throughout my life here.
Yeah, so, support.
Yep.
What about you, David? Do you think that you feel quite different to other kids your own age because that maturity level is so high?
Yeah, I guess I'm always like kind of comparing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not like in a sad way or something, like, yeah, something better than me, or like, yeah, your mom can speak better English than mine. That type of thing is like more of a, oh, I didn't know. I thought you did this too. Kind of like, read your mom's email, or like read your mom's letter and stuff. I was like, oh, you don't do that? I was like, that. It's just quite surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's quite the thing.
Yeah, like having parents that depend on you instead of the other way around. Because I feel like for most kids in New Zealand, you depend on your parents. Like, your parents are the ones who will help you and support you and raise you. And although your parents are doing the exact same thing, it comes out in different ways than, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they're still supporting you and raising you and looking after you, of course. But you also, it's a bit more balanced because you have to help them in so many ways as well.
Yeah.
So when you guys first came to New Zealand, now you all came at different ages. How old were you all when you moved here?
I think I was like 11.
11?
I was 5 and a half.
I was 4 or 3.
Okay. So I guess for you, David, and maybe Esther, this does not apply, but for you, do you feel like you felt pressured to learn English quicker than your parents? Like, was that something when you first moved here that was like, I need to learn this language as fast as possible?
The language wasn't that much of a problem for me because I already had a friend from my community who was helping me a lot.
Yeah.
And as I grew older, I watched like some like movies and listening from my Kiwi friends, and yeah, that's how I learned.
Yeah. English. Do you feel like it took your mother in this case a lot longer? I mean, she still doesn't speak English, right? Or fluently English. Do you think that you felt a responsibility to learn it quick so you could help her?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, do your parents, I think this kind of follows up with what I was just saying about having like the pressure to learn it as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your parents understand like the responsibilities that they put on you? Or is it something that is more or less like not acknowledged within your household or really spoken about?
They do realize that they're relying on me.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think they do rely on us quite a bit. I mean, most of the time when they don't know what's kind of happening when they're reading stuff in English, I guess, when people talking to them. And yeah, it's more like they do know and appreciate, like, because they ask, every time they ask for help or my help and stuff like that, they consciously do that. But it's not like, it's just a casual pretty thing. It's like, she doesn't know. I'm like, oh, I'll just go get my son to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she usually quite appreciative about it?
I think that the whole, she doesn't need to show it because her asking is pretty much being appreciative. Because if she wasn't appreciative or like, to say proud, you know, of herself.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a bit of shame in asking you guys, like, constantly for help from your parents?
No. I think that's more where the appreciative comes in. Because, I don't know how to word it properly, but asking for our house, that's kind of showing appreciation, because that's the only thing we can help them with. Because they provide for us.
Yeah.
House and food and shelter and clothes. Right.
Mm.
And then when they can't really do their, I don't know, basic stuff, household things.
Yeah, day-to-day.
Day-to-day, phones, emails, doctors and stuff. And they ask us for help. That's kind of acknowledging us.
Yeah.
On the thing.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So they don't need to be extra and just tell us. They can do that if they want. It just means they're showing more love.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to welcome our song in?
I think our new guest, Bishal, can do it. Yeah. Would you like to introduce the name of our song?
Soilomat Jagar.
Soilomat Jagar.
By Bishuodong.
Bishuodong.
होला भोलि त के होला सम्झना मै रोला मायालाई देऊ धोको खोली मनको धोको मायालाई देऊ धोको खोली मनको धोको दुई दिने चोला भोलि त के होला सम्झना मै रोला मायालाई देऊ धोको खोली मनको धोको मायालाई देऊ धोको खोली मनको धोको जीवन भन्नु के छ र दुई दिनको के छ र दुई दिनको माया बसे सम्झना छिनछिनको सम्झना छिनछिनको साहिलो
Hi there, welcome back, and you just listened to Silo Ma Chagar. And Imogen already got the next question prepared, so I'm giving it to her.
So, the next question we had, just for a summary, if you just started listening now, we were just interviewing some of the Bhutanese Nepali youth about their perspective and maybe their experiences being the only people that speak English within their households, especially from a very young age. So the next question I have for you is maybe a bit more positive than the other ones we've spoken about. And it's, do you guys think that in the long term, life or maybe when you first leave your house will be a lot easier than most people, seeing that you've been having to do things like pay bills and, I don't know, look after yourself when you go to the doctors and communicate with adults from a very young age? Do you think it will be easier for you when you get older?
For us, when we get older and get married, we don't just leave the house. We just stay with our parents and look after them until,
It's kind of
until,
tradition.
Tradition. So, and it's kind of
It's tradition, and then basically you're living with your parents, you're still kind of in the same boat, but you still have more responsibilities now because you're an adult, so you have your own, I don't know, taxes and stuff, you have your car, possibly you have car insurance and you have to pay for bills like that. And I guess it would help you because you basically had to help your parents with bills and stuff. I don't think it's going to be like a huge, quite jump. You're not going to, like, you're out in the world. Now you're going to know straight off because you help your mom and dad with this. You won't know how to do that.
It's kind of like saying thank you to our parents.
Yeah.
Like they raised us and did everything they could. And it's kind of like thank you to them as well.
I'm saying, yeah.
By staying with them.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's tradition in your households to stay with your parents even after you finish school, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a good thing if you stay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I understand.
For boys.
Okay. Is it different for girls?
It's different for girls. We have to go with the boys.
Yeah, if they stay at their parents' house, then the community won't accept those kind of thing from different. Yeah.
So what about going off to university or something or for study? Is it still acceptable for you to leave?
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah.
It's totally up to to the person who wants to study.
If
they want to stay with their parents and study or go out.
It's kind of like an old, pretty much old generation tradition thing.
But
I don't know. It might change when newer generations come.
Especially, I guess, because studying on a whole is becoming more accessible. To go to university is not as hard or as big of a deal as it was in I know the olden days, a while ago. For you, Esther, do you think personally, I mean, you shared your story about having to buy a car. Yeah. Do you think those little things like that are going to help you when you eventually leave home?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to help me a lot because since I've already have the experience, I can like, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier for me to get a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do all the adult things.
Yeah, do all of the adult things.
Okay. So I'm going to bring it back around to one of the questions I asked at the beginning about your parents assuming that you've learned these examples that we just mentioned at school. Like you've learned how to go shopping and buy tax and pay for tax and all these things. Do you think it's something that you should be taught at school? Do you think that's something that would help you in the long run? Or is it something you think should be earned by like life experience?
I think this would teach us, definitely.
It would be more better because they'll be setting us for life, setting up.
Yeah, they'll be preparing us for like life. the real life.
Think that's something that schools really should be doing is like teaching us real skills at the same time as educational ones, you know, like learning math and science is important, but also learning how to live is also quite important.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. It's just ways to survive are necessary. And at some point, everyone will learn it, right? Like just because you guys learned it at really young ages doesn't mean that other people won't learn it. It will just take a bit more time. But it would definitely be easier if it was sound and we all learned at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, David?
Thank you, everyone, for coming. And yeah, hope you enjoy this podcast on Sunday morning or evening. And yeah, goodbye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.